Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven. You can walk with God. And those demonic spirits that attack your mind, they can be silenced. If you are a drunk, if you're a sinner, if you're a thief, doesn't matter what you've done, God can forgive you, God can restore you, and God can give you a new life. You can walk away from your old life, and you can be a new creature in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as payment for your sins. And the Bible says if you do that, you have become a child of God. No longer just born of natural parents, but literally born of your Father in heaven. You're literally a child of God. And when that happens to you, you have access to Him anytime you need Him. Demons might holler and say, you can't come back. All that are lies from the enemy. You can come back. Doesn't matter how beat up you are, you can crawl up in your daddy's lap and say, Daddy, I've fallen short and I need your help. Please help me. And He will help you because He remains faithful in all situations. Once He accepts you as your child, as His child, He remains faithful. He will not deny His own. He is the perfect Father. We have a free book here. If you need it, if you think it'll help you, it's called You Are Now Free to Walk with God. It goes over those things very clearly. All you have to do is contact us, and it'll be sent to you. This book is free. Then there's another book that goes a lot deeper. It's a discipleship course. This one's not free. So it's real simple. If you put skin in the game, you will study a little bit harder. This one's free, just like the free gift of salvation. This one, if you want to go deeper with God, will teach you how to go deeper with God. In the name of Jesus. This one is Go Ye, a 27-week discipleship course. And this one is You Are Now Free to Walk with God. The kids can be released. It looks like they've already been released. I apologize. I was supposed to do that a while ago. I don't get to preach here too often. My preaching is usually done out in the mission field. So this is an honor. This is my one day a year I get to preach at this pulpit, unless otherwise noted, the day after Thanksgiving when they go on their trip. We're going to not do a normal preaching thing today. We're going to go in an in-depth teaching. We're going to reveal some things by God's Word so that we can see things more clearly. Because the enemy, he's very deceitful. He will enter your mind and he will tell you things and cause you to believe things if you don't really search out the Scriptures and really determine to know the mind of God. So we're going to start off with Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And I'm using the NIV. This is going to be the New King James. So it may read just a little bit different. The Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I think we can all agree that God is smarter than we are. It's not a very hard thing to comprehend that if there is a God in heaven, and if He created the heavens and the earth, He is absolutely smarter than we are. And He doesn't do things the way we do things. He does things according to His order. He's the one who made the tadpole that turns into a frog. That's just mind-boggling. He's the one that took a caterpillar and turns it into a beautiful butterfly. Those things are just amazing. He's the one that created these intricate bodies that we live in that science is still trying to figure out. All these things He created. To try to think that we can put Him in our little brain and cause Him to do things the way we want them done is just wrong. God wants to lift us up to a higher plane because He does things different than the way our human understanding may think they need to be done. So we need to lift our understanding and come up to where He is. Because in Him, there is freedom. In Him, there is life. In Him, you overcome the enemy. Everything that plagues your life, you have access in Him to be free of those things. That's His desire, that we would be a family of God that would be strong and powerful on the face of this earth. Why? Because He decided, way before this ever started, that He was going to take lowly human beings and He was going to defeat the enemy. That's what this is all about. We're an army of God, and we're to portray the gospel all over the face of the earth. And the power that he gives us is in his word. It becomes life in us, and then we go forth and do things in his name, and they happen, and people get saved. So we don't need to think that our knowledge is higher than God's knowledge. Today we're going to look at some human thoughts and human sayings that are out there that I've seen in people's front yards, and then we're also going to look at them through the mind of Christ. Do we happen to have that one slide, brother, that shows all of them? Thank you. So the first one is, in this house we believe Black Lives Matter. That sounds very wonderful. It really does, because they do matter. Women rights or human rights, I agree with that. That's absolutely true. No humans is illegal. I agree with that. Science is real. I agree with that. Love is love. I agree with that. Kindness is everything. All right? So those are the things that we're going to look at today, because many of us already buy into that theology. But we want to look at these things with the mind of Christ, not just our human understanding. Because on the surface, that is absolutely true and absolutely beautiful. But what is really going on with those kind of statements? So today we're going to have a good look at that. Proverbs 14:12, please. There is a way that appears right to man, but the end thereof leads to death. There is a way that appears right to man, but the end thereof leads to death. That is true in every one of our lives. We embrace things in our life and we believe this is correct, this is the way it's supposed to be. But until we wash our minds with the washing of the water of the Word, we are in error. Because God has certain ways of doing things, and He wants us to understand the depth and the things that are behind statements that are made, so that we can understand how to keep our hearts clean, so we can understand how to go and set people free, so we can understand the mind and the will of God. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you wash our minds with the water of your word as we endeavor to impart your word in the name of Jesus. So let's look at the first one. Black Lives Matters. All right, and let's go to the next scripture. This is going to be our basic scripture for today. It is 1 John 4:1. Hallelujah. Now this is something that I want us to all participate in. I believe participation is very important as we read the word. So let's read this together. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, that's loaded right there. So we go back to Black Lives Matters. Yes, they do. Absolutely. But the spirit behind this movement is trying to cause the division. It's trying to dismantle the police force. It's trying to cause anarchy in our nation. So on the surface, that is absolutely true. But in the spiritual realm, we have to be very, very careful, because God says all lives matter. All lives matter. We're going to look at Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In the book of Acts, St. Peter said in 10:34, I now realize that it is true. It is God who does not show favoritism. He could not understand in his human understanding, like us, there's many things in our human understanding that we can't get past because of things that were inbred in us from our parents, from classmates, or whatever, and we're stuck. We can't get past that point. So God brought Peter revelation. He let down, you know, the animals in the white sheet, and then he sent people to Peter's house, and then Peter went and preached and realized, oh my gosh, he's opening salvation up to the Gentiles. And that's what he was talking about right here in this statement. And that said, I now realize it is true that God does not show favoritism. He does not. There's not one person on the face of the earth that he does not love, that he does not want to pour his salvation into. Every single one of us are muy importante in his eyes. Muy importante. You are very valuable to the living God. So valuable that he gave his only begotten son so that you could have eternal life. He poured out his blood. He suffered for you so that you could come into his kingdom and you could be a child of the Most High God. So to say, even though that sounds like a wonderful statement, Black Lives Matter, and they do, in reality, all lives matter. Every single person on the face of the earth. So do we as children of God believe that bad cops should be prosecuted? Absolutely. We do believe that. But police forces should not be destroyed because of the actions of a few. We're going to go to the next one. Women's rights are human rights. Women's rights are human rights. We absolutely believe that. Everybody has the right to have access to God, to have access to everything that other humans have access to. But let's look at that scripture again. 1 John 4:1. And let's read it together. Here we go. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. Because many false prophets. Amen. So now we're going to look at that a little bit different. Women's rights are human rights. Yes, they are. We agree with that. But the spirit behind this movement wants to sacrifice your children to Molech. Did you know that's what's really going on? That's exactly what the scripture says if you dig it out and search it out. So, Leviticus 18:21. Do not give your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of God. I am the Lord. Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. I want you to think about that for a second. Me as a dad, I don't have the right to take my 1 or 2 year old child and murder him. But a woman has the right to murder their child that is alive in their womb, which is supposed to be the safest place on the face of the earth, where they're getting nourished, they're getting the nutrition they need, their heart is already beating, they're already a living creature. But a woman has the right to murder that child. Do we as children of God believe that women have rights? Absolutely. They do not have the right to murder in the name of sex, selfishness, convenience, or shame, which is really sacrificing your children to Molech. We're going to look at the next one. No human is illegal. No human is illegal. On the surface, this looks very nice. Let's read our scripture. 1 John 4:1. Okay, go. Amen. So we're going to test the spirit. No human is illegal. Yes, that is true. But the spirit behind this movement wants to throw out or disobey the laws of the land. That's exactly what's going on. Doesn't mean we don't have compassion on illegal aliens. That's not at all what I'm saying. That gets distorted all the time. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which is from God. The authorities that exist have been appointed by God. Consequently, whoever resists authority is opposing what God has set in place. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So let me ask you a question. There's a law that we can't change. There's one way to heaven. Does anybody know that what that way is? Through Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven by which a man can be saved. And the only way to gain entrances to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this law of the land is really no different. There is a legal way to come to this country. If you're an illegal alien here today, I'm not preaching against you. We love you. We care for you. But work on getting your papers in order. Because there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. Do we have compassion on illegal aliens? Absolutely. I will do everything in my power to feed them, to clothe them, to help them walk with God. But there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. You can't get to heaven if you're doing things the wrong way. because you have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not obeying rules and regulations. It is going through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do we, as children of God, think that all lives are precious? Absolutely, because they are created in the image of God. So we need to remember those things. Let's look at the next one. Science is real. Let's go to our scripture, please. Go. Amen. So on the surface, we can all say, yes, science is real. And science is real. There's no question about it. But what are they really saying? The spirit behind this movement would have you believe that we are going to destroy the earth. The real purpose is to take away our freedoms, to control our lives. We are not going to destroy the earth. That is reserved for God. It's not reserved for man. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 24:1. The Lord is going to completely destroy everything. Isaiah 24:3. The earth will completely be destroyed. Revelations 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven. I saw a new earth. For the first heaven and earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Do you think God is going to let us destroy the earth when He's reserved that for Himself? He created the earth. We did not. He put us in dominion over the earth. He told us to go out and multiply and take care of it. Do we have the right to destroy the earth? No. Do we have the right to bite into bad science? No. Is their science wrong and the other scientists right? There's people on both sides of the fence in the science community. Some people say there's global warming and they're scientists. Other scientists say there's absolutely not global warming. This is a natural progression of history. The earth is warmed and cooled, warmed and cooled, warmed and cooled, warmed and cooled for generations, and it will continue to do so. We do need to be responsible as stewards of where we've been placed. But we don't need to believe their science just because those scientists say this is true and the other scientists say it's not. I got news for you. Some of you are old enough to remember this. I remember it very clearly. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, front page of Time magazine said we have global cooling and we need to be alerted. How many of y'all remember that? It was really there. The same scientists that are telling us about global warming were scaring us about global cooling in the 1990s. So which is true? The same scientists that say that there is no God, that we were created by a big bang and everything happened, those are the people we're supposed to believe? No, God gave us a brain to search out scriptures so that we can be prepared. The same scientists, some of them say we descended from apes. We didn't descend from apes. We were created in the image of God. So we need to take those things not just at face value. We need to look at the spirit behind that. What is driving this particular mantra that is trying to change the face of the earth? Because that's exactly what's going on. We as Christians need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Hallelujah. Love is love. Let's read our scripture, please. Hallelujah. This one can be a very hard one for some people. Love is love. Yes, that is true. I totally 100% agree with that. But what is the spirit behind this statement that we see in yards? It's saying, if you do not agree with my lifestyle, you are a hater. That's exactly what it's saying. If you do not agree with my lifestyle, you are a hater. Though you can love them, though you can bring them food when they're sick, if you don't embrace their lifestyle, you're a hater. You're not a lover. That's what it's saying. So we have to be very, very careful with these statements that are being made. I submit to you 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us one another, love one another, because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. They are the haters. We're not the haters. They are the haters. And this is why. When we simply walk with God, we bring judgment on them. That's what's happening. So you need to get that straight. Because you carry with you the air of righteousness. Every place you go, every place you set your foot, it is the smell of roses and freshness to another child of God. But to those who want to walk in sin, to those who want to do whatever they want to do, it's the smell of death. And it convicts them. And it condemns them. And they don't want to be convicted. And they don't want to be condemned. So they are the haters. We're not the haters. John 3:20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now, when I say this scripture, and when I teach discipleship class, I actually bring this up. This scripture is not just true for the unbeliever, it's also true for the believer. You have believers that are child of God, but they do not want to walk away from their sin. And so they're afraid to come into the light. They keep it at arm's bay. They say, well, I can continue to do this and this and this and be a child of God. You're never going to grow and mature. You're going to cut your life short. You're never going to have a good testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He called us, what? Out of darkness. He called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. He didn't say, oh, my beloved child, I've received you as my child. You can stay an infant little baby with poop all over you all the time, and that's fine with me. You don't have to grow up. You can be the sweet little poopy, stinky child, and I'm fine with that. No. He wants you to grow up and mature. He wants you to grow and be a fine, upstanding person on the face of the earth. He wants you to be the testimony, the fragrance of life on the face of the earth. He wants you to go forth with His word and His power and His might in Jesus' name. You can't do that if you refuse to release a sinful lifestyle. You can't do it. The two don't mix in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do we have a responsibility to love everyone as a child of God? Absolutely. I know a fine man of God. His name is Dalen Woodard. And he made this statement one time, and it was very profound. He said, God loved me enough to save me just as I am. And that is exactly the truth. We don't have to do anything fancy to get saved. All we have to do is believe and trust in Jesus. Confess His name, and we become a child of God. That's how it starts. But quite frankly, you're just a little bitty baby at that point. You have to grow and mature. Then he said, but He loves me enough, speaking of God, but He loves me enough to not let me live in my sinful nature. Once again, that scripture out of Peter, He called me out of darkness. He called me out of darkness so I could show forth the glory of God. Let's look at the next one. Kindness is everything. Let's repeat our scripture, please. Dear friends, First John 4:1. Hallelujah. So, yes, this is true. But the spirit behind this statement is demanding, and I stress the word demanding, is demanding that you approve of my sin. Let me flaunt it publicly. And if you tell me God does not approve, then you are a hater. And you're not being kind to me. That's really what that spirit is saying. Do we as children of God have a responsibility to be kind to everyone? Yes, we do. But like Jesus, we are required to speak kindness and forgiveness, but may need to tell someone that they need to turn away from their sin, just as Jesus did. John 1:17. And this is the heart of Jesus, and this is who we are to become. This is what we are to embrace. This is our the way we are to handle our lives. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, to be a successful minister of the gospel, you have to have both of those. I have been in the streets of this country, and I have seen and heard supposed men of God shouting and screaming, "You're a sodomite, you're going to hell." Is that the truth? Possibly so, but there's no grace there. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus always spoke the truth, but he gave it to them graciously, where they could understand that there's a God in heaven that loves them. There's a God in heaven that's going to forgive them. There's a God in heaven that's going to wash away their sins. But he still gave them the truth. You got to have both. Pastor Mike calls one sloppy agape. And that is very preached, very prominent in the United States of America. You can get saved by grace and don't worry about anything else. You can do whatever you want and you're fine. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is turn away from your sin. Turn away from your sin. Because Jesus loves you and he's going to give you a new life. He's going to remake you. He's going to clear out all the fog in your mind. He's going to touch your head and you're going to have peace. He's going to give you power over your sin. He's going to send you places on the face of the earth that you never believed could happen if you will believe him and trust in him. Here's our example in John 8, verse 10 and 11. This is about the woman that was caught in adultery, and the scribes and Pharisees brought her up and said, "Here she is. We got to stone her. She was caught in adultery." But remember, Jesus did not come to condemn. And we, as children of God, have no business condemning anybody. Because Jesus didn't come to condemn, so we don't condemn either. But he said, and Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. "Then neither do I condemn you." But he didn't stop there. He said, "Now, go and leave your life of sin." Go and leave your life of sin. So there was the grace. I'm not going to condemn you. You've fallen short of the glory of God. All these people have left because they're sinful themselves. And no one here is to condemn you. And I am God in the flesh, and I don't condemn you either. But you need to go and leave your life of sin. He didn't tell her, "It's okay. Go ahead and live in adultery. Go ahead and do what you want to do. Everything's fine. You're a nice little child of God. Everybody's going to heaven anyway." That's not what he said. He said, "Leave your life of sin." So we, as men and women of God, we have to pattern ourselves literally after that statement, the way Jesus did, grace and truth. I remember many years ago, there was this lady in my class, Dolores Mers, and she was telling me about her sweet daughter. And her sweet daughter had turned to a life of sin, and she brought that life of sin into her house. And Dolores spoke to her and said, "This is not who you are. I want you to know that I'll forgive you, but this is not your destiny. You are a child of God. You will not have these kind of things happening in my house." Period. Paragraph. So she confronted her, but she also extended grace and love to her and let her know, "This is not who you are. You are a child of God." And that woman actually turned away from that relationship. And now, it's my understanding, she's walking with God. My point is, we have to be prepared to confront people that we love. The Bible says that you will have enemies in your own house. And when you confront people, even in a loving manner, it hurts because they may reject you and they may cut you off. They may separate themselves from you. Why? Because they love their sin. They want to stay in their sin. But if you're doing it graciously with the love of God, you stand on scriptures that you know are true. One of the scriptures I stand on is, "Me and my household will be saved." So no matter what the circumstances is, I choose to believe God for that. Even if it doesn't look like it's going to happen, I continue to plow that ground. But the point is, honey, it's okay. It's okay. God loves you. That part is true. It's okay, honey, God loves you. That part is true. But sweetie, you know you're a child of God, and you don't need to be doing this kind of stuff. How many of us will actually say that? Are you hearing me? Those are hard conversations. They're very hard, because this is somebody that might live in your house. This is somebody that might cut you off from your grandchildren, and you don't want that to happen. But who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve him? Because he's concerned about their eternal destination. And we have to live with a mind of eternity. Because this little life is gone like that. Some of you may not realize that. Charlie knows it. I know it because I'm 67. And yesterday I was 17. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This life is a flash. But eternity is not even one piece of sand on the seashore. So we got to change. We got to alter. We got to alter our thinking. We got to alter our way of doing things. Because if you're eternally minded, then if they dislike you and they hate you and they're mean to you because you stood up for the gospel, but you continue to pray for them and love them, then they have an opportunity to bow the knee and come to Christ. But if you turn around and go, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, I'm going to change my doctrine. And that's what happens. You change your doctrine. Instead of believing what the Word of God says, you alter your doctrine. Wait a minute. No. No, a modern God won't do that. A modern God is going to let everybody into his kingdom, no matter what they do. If God is love, he's going to let everybody in. So I've got this wrong. The Bible's wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And don't think that can't happen to you. It can happen to any of us. You literally have to shake your foundation. And you literally have to brace yourself, because those times are going to come. And they're going to test your faith to the nth degree to let you alter your doctrine just a little bit to let everybody in heaven, because God loves them. God does love them. But we're not helping them if we don't speak grace and truth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. John 1:17. No, we read that one. John 8:10, we read that one. Please forgive me. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. This is a very, very simplistic way of looking at everything I just said on confronting people's sin and trying to instruct them in the right way to go. So, very, very simple way to put it. Would you let your child play in the middle of the road? No, of course not. Why? They're going to get hit by a truck and it's going to kill them. Or they're going to get maimed for life. You would not do it. You would go, no. You can't do that. But they are saying, let me play in the middle of the road, and if you don't, you're a hater. That's what they're telling you. If you don't let me play in the middle of the road, you're a hater. We're not haters. We love them. We're trying to keep them from destroying their own lives. Some of these people I'm speaking of are Christians, but they're refusing to leave their life of sin. They're choosing to believe God's saying all that is okay. I was reading about a famous man of God in the 1800s. His name was Andrew Bonar. And I'd like to read a statement to you that I will never forget. And I really believe this is very true. Many people want salvation, but they don't want the Savior. Every 6 months or so, God gives me a new mantra. And this is one of them that he gave me some months back. Salvation is a free gift of God. But if you want to walk with God, it will cost you your life. That is a very true statement. And the reason why I say that, because if you want to walk with God, he will make you face the ugliness in your life. And nobody can stand in front of God for you. You have to stand there yourself. And it can be very scary. So salvation is a free gift. But if you want to walk with God, it will cost you your life. Jesus, however, put it a different way, really the same thing with all three. Matthew 16:25. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. So we have to lose our natural way of thinking. We have to learn to wash our minds so that we can be what God wants us to be on the face of the earth. So that we can reach into people's hearts and turn them toward Jesus. I believe that you want the Savior. I believe that you want to walk with God knowing that it will cost you your life. And I believe you're willing to lose your life and be found in Jesus. That's what I choose to believe about everybody in this room. That is what I believe. This is a holy time. Very holy time. So I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and just listen to me for a moment. Everybody quiet. Hallelujah. If these statements are a reflection of your heart, I want you to examine your heart. If these are areas that you've fallen in, that's okay. If these are areas that you've had trouble in, that's okay. But I want these statements, if they are a reflection of your heart, that you want to go away from those and you want to stand for Christ, I ask that you raise your hand in the name of Jesus. Just raise your hand. If that touches you in any way, I ask that you raise your hand. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. If you raise your hand, I ask that you come and stand up here at the front. In Jesus' name. And we're going to just do business in God's kingdom. Let Him wash us with His Word. Jesus' name. Anybody? Hallelujah. Ooh. These are things that I'm also praying to myself. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15 says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. So that means that we have an enemy that looks like the light, that he can masquerade that way. So we have to be very, very careful. Romans 12:2 says, Do not be conformed to this world. And that's where we have a lot of trouble. We conform ourselves to the world even after we become Christians. But it says, Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then, once you've had your mind transformed, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His pleasing and perfect will. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. I've actually met Christians that have walked with God for 5 years that have never read the Bible. Well, they're certainly not training themselves to discern between good and evil. I've met Christians that have been Christians for 20 years and they've read the Bible maybe one time. Once again, they're not training themselves to discern between good and evil. You have to spend time with Him in His Word and let Him change you. We as children of God, we have given up our right to act any way we want. We have given up our right to speak whatever enters our brain. We have given up the right to expound on our own philosophies. You, as a child of God, have been given the right to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. And as such, you have been made ambassadors of God, to walk as Jesus did on the earth and speak the things of God with grace and truth as He did. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we humbly come to You in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you separate light from darkness in our life. We turn our hearts over to you. We confess that we need you. We ask that you wash our minds. We ask that you help us in our time of need. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that as we spend time with you, that your sweet Holy Spirit would continue to minister to us, to heal us, and show us the things of God. And Father, when our minds are wrong, we open them up to you, and we say, come Holy Spirit, change the way we think, because we want to be proper representatives on the face of this earth. We want to show forth your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And you all said, amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you for enduring with me. It's one of those tough words, is what I would call it. Two things on the agenda that you don't know of. One of them, about 3 weeks back, I made an announcement about Venezuela, that God has given me an open door there, and I have since had a couple people make donations. But I'm going to start sending supplies to Venezuela. Venezuela. I'm going to start sending supplies down there once a month. So I do have a good connection. I was supposed to have the list of supplies, but I only have one copy because I changed briefcases. So if you want to participate in this, you can take a picture of this with your phone. And I need supplies here by Wednesday because Thursday is our first shipment going out. And the real cost is the cost of sending the supplies. But I'm handling the first shipment myself. So it's right here if you want to participate. This is a season of giving. One of the things I love about this church is we are a very giving church. And I thank you guys for that. These precious people in Venezuela. Sorry, I don't have good command of the English language. The average adult has lost 20 to 35 pounds because they live in such a stressed out society there. It's really, really tough. And I've got pictures of these precious ones. And these people that I'm sending to, they share everything with their entire community. They don't try to hoard it for themselves. They say, we just got a supply. Let's come over and share it. So that's what they're doing. So for the time being, once a month, the first Thursday of the month, I'm going to be making a shipment down there. And God has opened up a door. And what you reap, you will sow. That's the scripture. And so I know that one day I'll get to go down there and do a crusade. It was supposed to happen about 3 years ago, and it didn't. But now the door is starting to open. So that's one thing. Next Sunday, many of you probably remember, two, you have, the stuff has to be turned in next Sunday. Angel Tree, everything's got to be back for her for next Sunday, so please remember that. And then next Sunday also, I'll be handing out the homeless Christmas stockings. So those things we fill up and then we put them in the hand of a homeless person. So I'll have those next Sunday as well. None of these things are very expensive. On Venezuela, just buy two or three items. You don't have to buy everything on the list. Just buy two or three items and adhere to this list because these are things I know are approved to go in the shipping containers. Okay? Do we have any prayer partners here today? So please come up if you're a prayer partner. And if you have a prayer need, please come up and get those prayers taken care of. Would you close us in prayer? It's Irma? Irma? All right, Emma. This is Emma. She's going to close us in prayer. Oh, it's Irma.
Father, we just thank you, Father. We just bless you, Lord. We thank you for the revelation of your word that came forth. That each one of us, Father, had to examine our heart to make sure that, Father God, that it's in line with your will. And so, Father, we thank you that you remind us of those things that we have to come and lay before you those things that so easily beset us. And Father, we're so grateful for your Holy Spirit that ministers to us, that we can be set free by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Father, that for each person here as we depart, we pray, Father, that the blessings of the Lord would chase after them, and that the day as a week go forth, that they would be blessed. Everything that they hand would touch, it would be a prosperous, because the word of God says that they are like trees planted by the water, that everything that they touch would prosper. So we pray blessings over them. We pray safety over them, safe travel, Father, until we come back and meet again. And we give you glory and honor and praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.